Hi and welcome to CPR, the Checkpoint Research Podcast. I'm Ran Levy. Every year, Checkpoint releases an annual report, a thorough, detailed analysis of all the biggest, most important stories, statistics, and insights from the previous year in cybersecurity. That includes the biggest corporate data breaches, the most prevalent malware in each part of the world, the fastest rising trends in hacker methodologies, the new threats facing emerging devices, and more. It is a comprehensive summary for anyone interested in seeing the whole cybersecurity forest and not just the trees, and can be found at blog.checkpoint.com. But let's face it, not all of us have the time to read a 50-page document. That's why in this episode of our show, Nate Nelson, the writer of our podcast, interviewed Lotem Finkelstein, the writer of this report. They discussed its highlights, including the new threat landscape we'd never quite seen before, old viruses that remain rampant today, and how we can interpret the events of a year and a decade past. Enjoy the episode. As you listen, I'll be jumping in every so often to read from sections of the report to give you some more in-depth detail. Anyway, enjoy the interview.
Hey, hello, I'm Lotem Finkelstein, the head of threat intelligence in Checkpoint. We are responsible for pinpointing attacks out there, trying to understand what are the trends in the threat landscape, what makes hackers and threat actors swipe right, what technologies do they follow, what successes do they follow as well, what do they appreciate and are going after.
Tell us about the document we're going to be discussing in this episode.
We're going to discuss the Trends Report, or the Cybersecurity Report, its marketing name, and it actually describes what we see out there that is most popular, what are the hacking techniques that are more popular than others, what trends do we see in the threat landscape that you as cyber enthusiasts should be more focused on, should be more attentive to.
Each year, Checkpoint Research reviews previous year's cyber incidents to gather key insights about the global cyber threat landscape. In this 2020 Cybersecurity Annual Report, we offer a review of 2019's major cyber incidents, suggest predictions for 2020, and recommend best practices to help keep your organization safe from cyber attacks. With the popularity of cloud computing and network-connected smartphones, it's no secret that there are more ways to invade an organization. A once-hardened network perimeter is now blurred and porous to cyber attacks, and the bad actors are well aware. If there's one clear takeaway from 2019, it's that no organization, big or small, is immune from a devastating cyber attack. Cyber exploits are more sophisticated, elusive, and targeted than ever before. With cybercrime rates estimated to have generated $1.5 trillion in 2018, navigating today's complex cyber threat landscape requires a comprehensive cybersecurity.
And where does the information that makes it into the report come from?
Okay, so in Checkpoint, we collect data from something like 100,000 networks and from something like 1 million endpoint devices and mobile devices, which means that we have very large data sets of files, network activities, URLs that were accessed, and we are able to tell what are the most interesting attacks out there, what is abnormal, what is unusual, and we digest this data, and we are trying to give you, the readers, a sense of what we see out there.
2019 presented a complex threat landscape where nation states, cybercrime organizations, and private contractors accelerated the cyber arms race, elevating each other's capabilities at an alarming pace. According to our incident response team, one out of every five calls to our hotline ends up with a targeted ransom attack that shuts down operations. The catalyst to this global trend can be found in the fact that 28% of all organizations worldwide were subject to botnet infection during 2019. Successful infection of such a botnet opens the door to much more destructive attacks like ransomware. Attacks on mobile and cloud platforms also evolved this year, with more vulnerabilities exposed and potent exploits released in the wild. These advanced attacks on public cloud services enabled the massive data breaches we witnessed this year. And our data indicates that 27% of all organizations globally were impacted by cyber attacks that involved mobile devices.
What kinds of cyber threats, you know, ransomware, banking trojans, supply chain attacks, really anything, have been trending the furthest upward as of late, and which have sort of stalled or decreased in significance?
Okay, so I think that the thing is that it is more a tactic than a specific malware type, because we see threat actors from all domains, from ransomware to banking trojans to skimming attacks, information stealing and such, adjusting their attacks to something more complex, what we call the one stop before the target tactic. They actually make the attack chain more and more complex, which means that even though you were victimized in some point, it doesn't mean that you are the main target, you are the main course of this attack. Maybe you are just one stop before the main course of the attack, the main target of the attack, and using your network, using your services, using your third parties, the threat actors will reach a broader audiences or a more specific audience that they are targeting. So they might use your documents to make their attacks more credible, to try to impersonate you while attacking some other third party of you, or they might use your services to reach your customers through your network, like we saw in managed security services, where they were compromised to allow attack against their customers. And there are many other examples that this kind of tactic is on the rise right now, and we see it in the entire threat landscape. So whether it is ransomware or info stealer or banking trojan, we see them all adjusting their attack vectors to allow this complex infection chain.
And do you have any theories or explanations as to why this trend has become so popular?
Yeah, so first of all, using single point of failure is much more easier to reach a large audience, meaning that you won't have to attack many, many computers and to infect them with your own malware in order to allow a very extensive attack, but you can just use one service that you compromise to reach visitors of specific website or many websites. So reaching a large audience using single point of failure or exploiting the weakest link in a supply chain to reach large audiences, this is one thing. The other thing is that usually reaching large audience requires a lot of resources, meaning that you would have to maintain some kind of a spam bot, a bot that allows sending many, many emails to many people, or trying to, or you would have to maintain some kind of botnet, meaning that you would have to control many infected devices and the endpoints to synchronize your attack. So it requires a lot of resources that you would have to invest in order to allow this kind of attacks. So instead, you can only attack some kind of service that is being implemented in websites, or you can only attack a single company in order to reach their customers, and you would have to be very focused, and your resources will be much more cheaper, and you will get larger audience while investing less efforts and resources in this attack.
Interesting. Now, I imagine that this one-stop phenomenon also exists in what we might refer to as less traditional vectors, that is, you know, mobile, cloud computing, IoT. Can you talk about these kinds of devices, whether, for example, mobile threats have become more or less common recently?
Yeah, so the mobile threat landscape is finally matured enough to be an independent threat landscape. We can just look at an example of banking Trojans. If 15 years ago, if an hacker would like to put their hands on our bank credentials, they would have to hack the ATM or to do some manipulation on the ATM to reach these credentials. And moving on, 10 years ago, the most popular way to access our bank account was on the web application, meaning that in order to do that, we would have to browse into the bank website and go over our transactions and the income outcomes. And now, most of us actually use mobile apps to do that. So from this perspective, we understand that threat actors would have to adjust their attack vectors in order to put their hands on these credentials. So they moved from ATMs to web applications, and now they adjust their attack vectors to mobile devices. So we see this threat landscape evolves over time, and of course now we can tell that this is a matured threat landscape just because we saw in 2019 so many exploitations, 0 days for mobile, that allow zero click attacks, meaning that the users don't have to do anything in order to get into the infection chain. They just only receive a SMS message to their mobile, and it does everything for the attackers, meaning that it exploits something while getting processed into our mobile, and then the mobile is compromised and being controlled by a remote attackers. So after we saw so many 0 days, both for iOS and Android in 2019, we sure enough to say that this threat landscape got to the point where it is just similar to the traditional network threat landscape. As we can just make the comparison, there are malicious apps as well as malware, there are exploitations, there are remote attacks. So we can say for sure that this threat landscape is just at the point where the network threat landscape is. So this is one thing. On the cloud environments, we see that the largest data breaches that we saw in 2019 had something to do with cloud environments.
The first half of 2019 saw a 50% increase in attacks by mobile banking malware compared to 2018. This malware can steal payment data, credentials, and funds from victims' bank accounts, and latest versions are made available for widespread distribution to anyone that's willing to pay the malware's developers. Like many cyber attacks, phishing will become more sophisticated and effective, luring mobile users to click on malicious web links. As 5G networks roll out, the use of connected IoT devices will accelerate dramatically. They will increase networks' vulnerability to large-scale, multi-factor Gen 5 cyber attacks. IoT devices and their connections to networks and clouds are a weak link in security. It's hard to get visibility of these devices that can have complex security requirements. What's needed is a more holistic approach to IoT security, combining traditional and new controls to protect these ever-growing networks across all industry and business sectors. The new generation of security will be based on nano security agents. These micro plugins can work with any device or operating system in any environment, controlling all data that flows to and from the device and giving always-on security. The bandwidth that 5G enables will drive an explosion in numbers of connected devices and sensors. E-health applications will collect data about users' well-being. Connected car services will monitor users' movements. Smart city applications will collect information about how users live their lives. This ever-growing volume of personal data will need to be protected against breaches and theft.
Many companies, many organizations move their assets, move their servers and databases from their own decks to racks, to cloud environments, to public cloud environments. And by doing that, they exposed more and more data online. And the threat actors, instead of compromising the entire network in order to reach these databases, they only need to look for them, to scan for them on the internet, and they will get there. So while not using a proper security product or a proper taking the proper security measures, organizations exposed sensitive data to the internet. And this is why we see that every time that there is a data breach, it doesn't end with something like 100 entries or something like this, but 200 million entries, 200 million credit card numbers and such being exposed. And this is what we see now on public cloud environments. But I can tell you that while we are talking now, I'm sure that there are threat actors that already gained access to these platforms. And we are publishing these days a report about how we were able to find a vulnerability that allows a remote code execution on a very popular public cloud environment. And it means that if we succeeded in doing that, it means that other motivated threat actors are already there. So we tend to believe that this platform is underestimated at the moment, both by security vendors and by threat actors. And soon enough, we will find out that these platforms allow major breaches larger than we see now, larger that we can expect now.
We don't yet have the benefit of hindsight to show exactly what security threats we will face in 2020. Today's hyper-connected world creates more opportunities for cyber criminals, and every IT environment is a potential target. On-premise networks, cloud, mobile, and IoT devices. But forewarned is forearmed. By using advanced threat intelligence to power unified security architectures, businesses of all sizes can automatically protect themselves from future attacks.
In what areas of the world are these threats of most concern? What areas are seeing the steepest rises in the very kinds of threats that you're talking about?
In 2019, as well as in 2018, we see that the mobile threat landscape is more popular in APAC, in Asia and the Pacific. And you could ask why so popular in Asia and the Pacific and not in Europe, for example. So we can just guess and make a guess that most of the mobile devices production is based in Asia nowadays. iPhone, Android devices are being manufactured there in Asia. And it means that there are more people, more qualified people that are familiar with these technicals. And maybe they are responsible for the most of the attacks that we see nowadays on mobile. And this is one thing. The other thing is that we see mobile attacks more popular in countries where the wired network is less developed, because mobile is being used more frequently than in other countries. And it is actually your only gateway to the internet in some places. And it means that in order to reach these people, threat actors would have to allow mobile attack vector instead of the traditional network and personal computers malware. The other thing is that we see botnets very popular all around the world. And actually, we can tell that many of the most popular malware nowadays are actually part of a botnet, although we know that some of them are banking trojans, some of them are info stealers. At the end, they are all connected to one or several command and control servers and get commands from them. And this is actually the definition of botnets. So we see botnets all over the world, from Americas to Europe, Africa, and Asia. And there are the changes are very minor, from 28 to 30% in all regions. What we see less less popular nowadays is what we call mass distributed ransomware, meaning that we see that ransomwares that are not targeted ones, that are not part of a targeted attack, but more massively spread ransomware, are less and less popular. If in 2017 and 2018 we saw them in more than 30% of organizations worldwide, nowadays we're talking about 7% of all organizations. And this kind of ransomware attacks that are getting into our emails daily are no longer popular or lost their popularity over 2019. But we see that the targeted ransomware attacks are on the rise, with many, many organizations and governmental entities being hacked and being hijacked by ransomware attacks. And this is the most popular attack in the US, for example, against public organizations. This is the thing.
Okay, I have a bit of a different kind of question for you, Lotem. If we look at the most prevalent malware out in the world today, some of the names seem quite familiar, even a little bit old now. So I'm thinking Ursniff, Drydex, the Mirai botnet, so on. What does it say about the state of cybersecurity today that we haven't been able to stamp out these more well-known, well-documented programs?
The most successful attacks are the attacks that we don't hear about them. Meaning that one can think that China, Russia, Iran are the strongest and the most powerful cyber nations, because we hear about their attacks or hear about their cyber capabilities over and over on our news headlines. But no one talks about how powerful is Israel or how powerful is the US in terms of cyber warfare. And the question is why? Because we hear less and less about their attacks. So let's go back to cybercrime. While we see Mirai and other malware very popular nowadays, it means that we have capabilities of detecting them and surfacing their new variants over and over again. And we are capable of telling how popular they are. So it means that we are pretty good in terms of taking them down. It is not that easy to take down a botnet with millions or even tens of millions of infected devices, because it means that we would have not only we would have to take down servers with the cooperation of countries and law enforcement in many, many regions, but we would also need the cooperation of the infected users to remove the malware from their own devices, and this is very difficult. So sometimes when there is a botnet of 10 of millions devices, it is almost impossible to take it down, but using cyber products, you can assure that although you are infected, nothing is being exfiltrated or nothing is being compromised further, and the infection stayed isolated in the environment.
Before we move further, one of the big topics of this annual report is MageCart. So, Lotem, what is MageCart?
So, MageCart is an attack that that exploits online shopping websites to reach credit card credentials of users that enter them while shopping on these websites. This attack vector is relatively old, but over 2019, it had a rise. It is a trend. We see it all over the place, specifically after the exploits of Magento, which is a content management service that is being used by many online shopping websites in order to allow a cart on this website. So while you are choosing items, putting them into your cart on online shopping websites, you actually uses some third-party service to do it. And if this service is being compromised and being hijacked by some remote attacker, it means that there is a possibility that your credit card credentials that are being entered to this cart are being stolen while using the keyboard. So this is yet another attack that, although the websites are being compromised to allow this attack, they are not actually the victims, but the victims are the visitors of these websites. So in 2019, we saw thousands of reports about infected websites, large and small. Small ones, usually it was usually there were several websites that were involved in this acts. And of course, this is just another adjustment of threat actors who used all kind of malware to put their hands on our credit credentials, like POS malware, point of sale malware. They were infecting point of sale devices in order to steal our credit card credentials while swiping our credit card in these point of sale devices. And now they don't have to do it anymore because we are using more and more online shopping websites and not going to the supermarket, for example, but doing it online. We're not paying to the physician or to our whatever. We are using online services to do it. I can think of the only thing that I don't do with online shopping is fueling my car. This is the only thing that I'm using credit card nowadays. Out there, I'm doing everything online, and this is why threat actors had to adjust their attacks to MageCart attacks in order to put their hands on our credit card credentials.
So we've talked here a lot about trends. Now I want to talk about specific events and stories. What were some of the bigger corporate data breaches of the past year? And for those listening who may be affiliated or customers of the companies who were hit, how bad was the damage in these cases?
I think that the most famous attack in 2019 was the data breach of Capital One, the largest banking institute in the United States, where more than 100 million records of customers were of credit cards of customers were exfiltrated, were leaked due to a misconfigured firewall, and it means that our data is stored in companies that assure us that the data is protected, and sometimes it is protected, but security teams would have to make sure that they are up to date with the latest versions, with the latest updates, with the latest packages, to make sure that the data is still protected. So although it was once protected, we must make sure that the data is still protected today. This is one thing. Another attack, I think that that also is just an example of the attacks that we have seen in 2019 is the Baltimore City ransomware attack. The Baltimore City ransomware attack is just another example of cities in the U.S. that are being hijacked by ransomware attacks. In this specific case, Baltimore City refused to pay the ransom that was allegedly something like $600,000. Baltimore City was hijacked by a Ryuk ransomware, and they demanded $600,000 as a ransom. And after they refused and tried to establish a new domain with no success, and they found out that they are still infected with the ransomware, they had to pay the ransom. And we see that Baltimore City, the entire recovery process cost something like $18 million. So it means that we are not talking only on the payment of the ransomware, but we are also talking about the recovery process, which usually costs much more than the ransom itself, and it gets to a couple of millions of dollars.
Your cybersecurity battle is won or lost depending on how well you can prevent unknown zero-day threats. Organizations need to adopt a proactive battle plan to stay ahead of cyber criminals and prevent attacks, not merely detect and remediate them. Relying on remediation can have devastating consequences to any organization, as once the malware was able to penetrate an IT surrounding, in many occasions this means infection that will spread in seconds and will be merely impossible to get rid of. Organizations today should assume that they will eventually be compromised at some point. Even if an organization is equipped with the most comprehensive, state-of-the-art security products, the risk of being breached cannot be completely eliminated. Detecting and automatically blocking the attack at an early stage can prevent damage. To win the cybersecurity battle, companies need strong threat intelligence, threat-preventing technology, and a consolidated security architecture that protects all attack vectors.
And lastly, based on the discussion that we've just had, what, Lotem, are the broadest, most important pieces of advice that you can offer to the wider world about how to better protect ourselves going forward?
Okay, so my advice to security teams all over the world is split to two. One is to make sure we understand what are the trends out there and we are ready to cope with these attack vectors. We must be focused. We can be good at everything. We should focus our efforts in the right directions, and this kind of trend reports can assist us in focusing our efforts. This is one thing. The other thing is that we must make sure that not only our organization is protected, but also services that we are using are protected, because we see more and more attacks that are being allowed in first place just because one of the services wasn't maintaining a good security posture, and therefore their compromised network allowed access to our network, and this is not something that we want to see in our network, that a trusted service was compromised and allow access to our network. So the second part of the advice is making sure that our services, the services that we use, using the right security products to block this kind of attacks.
Thank you, Lotem.
Thank you, Nate.
That was Nate Nelson speaking with Lotem Finkenstein. For more details and to read the annual report itself, visit blog.checkpoint.com. Thank you for listening to CPR. For more episodes of our podcast, visit research.checkpoint.com. and look for the Checkpoint Radio banner at the top right corner, or search for Checkpoint Research in your favorite podcast application. CPR is produced by PI Media. Learn more at podil.net. Bye-bye.